And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Dear congregation, we read in Psalm 48 and verse 14 these words: For this God is our God for ever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He is our God. He's our covenant God. He's given himself over to us in a gracious way. How blessed we are. We considered in that reading in Nehemiah how the children of Israel sinned against him, yet he did not forsake them. How blessed we are. Despite our sin, he does not forsake. He is our God, and he is our God forever and ever. And we read, he will be our guide even unto death. He will guide us all the way home to the promised land, the promised land of heaven, as the Lord made plain in John 14. We are pilgrims and strangers in this land. This world is not our home, yet we are not on our own. The Lord is with us, the one who loved us and gave himself for us at Calvary is with us, and he guides us day by day, and he guides us all the way home. One of old wrote, All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? What a guide we have, and we do not doubt for one moment his tender mercy. And we have learnt and proved it by experience again and again that he is a shepherd, he is a friend of manifold mercies, and he shows us his mercy as he guides us here on our journey. The way may be hard, and the heart may be sad. But he will come alongside and hold our hand and lead us until we arrive at our desired haven. And there in heaven we will see the lovely face of our guide. But tonight, as already mentioned, we come to consider again divine guidance in the wilderness. Verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. And by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. The Lord was leading them through the pillar. But we go further. The Lord's presence was known. For there in verse 21 we read, And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. The Lord was known, his presence was known in a special way. If you turn over to chapter 14 and verse 19, we read of the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel. The angel of God. Exodus 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. The angel of the covenant, the Son of God, the Lord. The angel that encamps around about us, as we see in Psalm 34. You see, the pillar, as we bring this all together, and we also turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9 and verse 10, the pillar represented the presence of Christ. It pointed to him. Christ was in the wilderness. And are we not thankful? Though his immediate presence is in heaven, and he will be at the end of the journey, he is with us in a spiritual way in the wilderness. Those words came home to me as I read them again tonight in Nehemiah 9. Though they sinned against the Lord, he did not forsake, and are we not thankful? Though we fail the Lord, even this day, though we sin against the Lord, he will not forsake. He is with us in the wilderness, and he will lead us all the way home. He leads. He is the light. He said himself, I am the light of the world. He is the guide, and so he guides as the good shepherd, as we see in Psalm 23 and John 10. He protects as the pillar protected the people, and how he warms the soul. Think of the pillar of fire in the night. the warming influence of the pillar of fire, the warming influence of Christ. We touched on this last week. Can I ask you? Have you felt the warming of Jesus over this past week? Have you sought to get closer to Jesus? You think of those in the camp that were nearer to the pillar of fire. They felt more of the heat. Have you sought to get closer to Christ? Oh, to know more warming of the soul. You may know times of sadness, but oh, how the Lord can warm the soul as he warmed the soul of those two on the road to Emmaus. Oh, to know Christ more and more. Oh, to know that warming influence in days to come. Oh, stay close to Christ, that we might know the heat more, but also that we might observe carefully his guiding hand. Consider how the Lord guided them in the wilderness. Oh, to look more to the Lord. You consider the children of Israel, they would look towards the pillar. The children of Israel had work to attend to. The men would be busy in their occupation. They're in the camp, and so would the ladies. They would go about their duties as well, their work. They would look at times to the pillar. They would look over. Think of the children in the camp. They would be playing. It's good for children to play, isn't it? It's not all about school and education. Dear children, young people, oh, it's good to have those times to play and to relax. Well, think of the children of Israel in the camp. They'd be playing at times, at other times getting on with their education, but they would be playing, and then they would look over from time to time towards the pillar. Oh, keep looking towards Jesus. Think of the children of Israel. They would look to see if the pillar was still there. They would look over, keep looking unto Jesus, your guide, your saviour, your friend. Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand at the throne of God. Look to him. We have work to attend to. We must put our minds to the work that is before us. Young people, we have to often put our minds to the work of education. But oh, at times, let us all be found looking to Jesus. He's the guide. He's our saviour. He's the author and finisher of our faith. It began with him and it will end with him. And he will guide us to the finish. Oh, keep looking. Think how in the camp they would look towards the pillar. Oh, keep looking unto Jesus. He is your guide. Now we read in Nehemiah 9 verse 12. Moreover, thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein they should go. There was a way the Lord had set out for them. They were to look to the pillar, and the Lord would lead them by the pillar of cloud in the day and the pillar of fire by night. The Lord went before them. Now in Exodus chapter 14, we note in verse 19 how the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, there to defend them from the Egyptians. But you consider this, how the Lord went before them as a whole on the journey, and are we not thankful? The Lord that knows the way goes before and leads us the way. As it were, he is out front. Oh, we look unto him. Now he led them those 40 years to the land of Canaan. He led them. He guided them through the wilderness. And the Lord guides us through this wilderness. We think of our home, our long home. It's heaven, isn't it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ? We think of the journey till then, where the Lord is with us and he leads and he guides. Now the Lord led them. He went before them in the pillar of a cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The Lord today leads us through the Word and his Spirit And then thirdly, his providence. And let's just consider this for a moment. The Lord leads through his word, his spirit, and providence. First of all, his word. And as we saw a couple of months ago, I believe it was the end of last year, how the time has passed so quickly. We noted in Psalm 119, verse 105, these words, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it's believed by some of the old writers that here the psalmist, under inspiration, as he pens these words, is thinking of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet," a lamp, as in the night time, so that one can see the way, and in a light, as in the daytime, so also one can see the way. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The word of God leads us. The Lord uses his word. The Puritan rather, Thomas Manton, writes of the double notion by which the direction of the word is set forth. The word is a lamp unto my feet, particularly, we believe, thinking of the night time, and a light unto my path. It's very interesting, that, isn't it? We see how the Lord led in a pillar of cloud and fire. The Lord leads us through his word. The word is a lamp and a light. The Lord speaks to us through the word. We hear his voice through the word, and he guides us. He says to us in the word, as we note in Isaiah 30, verse 21, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And it's precious, isn't it? When we're reading and we're aware that the Lord is speaking to us. Ah, this is what we're to do. I found that as we sung those words tonight in Psalm 34, they came home to me. This is what I'm to do. "This is the way, walk ye in it." He guides. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We're guided in what we are to believe and what we are to practice. We are to walk according to rule. It's to be our concern. So that's why we should give daily attention to the word of God, as the psalmist did in Psalm 1. It was his delight, day and night. He meditated upon it. God speaks to us. God leads us through the word. So not only should we read it daily, but we should meditate upon what we read. The psalmist has a desire to go the way of the word. Psalm 86, verse 11, "I will walk in thy truth." I will walk. Thou art leading, thou art guiding. I will walk in thy truth. Reach for the book. Look to the book. Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, "Let the word be the sundial by which you set your life." You think of a sundial. My grandfather Lewis used to have one in the garden, this sundial, and I was fascinated with it. Never seemed to work to me. Well, I wasn't looking at it right, and I didn't understand how it worked. But it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? A sundial, how it's just placed in a certain place, and you know the way, or the time rather, there. Well, may the word of God be such a blessing to us that we would so observe it and be led by it. In times of difficulty, look to the Lord and reach for the book. You come to perplexing situations. You may say, "Which way now, Lord?" Look to the Lord. Wait upon him. Reach for the book. He will show you how you are to act in waiting. In that perplexing situation, how often the Lord guides us by saying, "Wait upon me," as we see in Isaiah 40 and also in Psalm 37. In times of difficulty, look to the Lord. He'll guide you through that time of difficulty. When you need particular guidance in different chapters in your life, maybe as you go out to university or to work, look to the Lord. Looking to buy a new home, maybe. Look to the Lord. Wait on him. Read and read and read. In all the situations we face, in every area of our life, trust the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you. He speaks to us through the word. You trust the Lord. You trust his word. He will lead you. He will guide you. He guides through the word. But then secondly, following on through the Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. In Psalm 143, we read, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. You see there the work of the Holy Spirit. He guides. He applies the word. Remember what our Lord said to his disciples in John 16, verse 10. He makes there plain to his disciples that the Holy Spirit would guide them. John 16 and verse 12. It's so helpful there. They will be guided into all truth. Verse 13, rather, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You see there, they were guided in a special way. When we look to the word of the Lord and the Spirit guides us through the word, he applies the word, does he not, to our hearts. Oh, we're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. How he leads, as we see in Psalm 143. Oh, give much opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Quench not the Spirit, as we read in the New Testament. Oh, we see so need the work of the Holy Spirit, the influences of the Spirit. We think of the graces, how they are excited by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would come and excite the graces. Take the grace of faith, that we would more focus on him. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would so come and apply the word to our souls. So the word, the Spirit, and then thirdly, providence. You remember Abraham's servant? He took note of the providence of God. After being so guided to the right place at the right time to meet the right person, that being Rebekah, he said this, recorded for us in Genesis 24, verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I being in the way, the Lord led me. He recognized there the providence of God. God was governing. God was ruling and preserving, I being in the way. Oh, look to the Lord. Consider his word, pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, and take note of providence. How often we've been able to say, I being in the way. We so recognize the hand of God. We so recognize his most holy and wise providence. It is holy and wise. As we think of divine providence, we are to understand his foresight, his care beforehand, and therefore we're led to consider his governing and preserving. Oh, the providence of God. It's a comforting subject, isn't it? Particularly when we don't understand what's happening and we cling to this wonderful truth. Though I may not understand, I know God. He's leading me in his most holy and wise providence. The psalmist said in Psalm 57, verse 2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He was in difficulty. There were those that opposed him, but he clung to the truth of God's providence. And he cried to God, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me, the one who's going to bring all things to completion. And so when we think of God's providence, we can rest that he's leading us and guiding us in his providence. He will bring all things to a conclusion because he's leading and guiding. He has such a special eye towards his people. In Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things, the good things and the difficult things, the things that seem plain to us, but also the perplexing things, the things that happen to us on the sunny days and the things that happen to us on the cloudy days, all things. Oh, we're thankful for his providence, and that in his providence he leads and he guides, he governs, he preserves. There's no mistake. Consider how the Lord has led you in his providence. He's brought you to this very day. Well, in his providence, he'll lead you on. And he'll lead you all the way to the promised land of heaven above. A way is opened up in his providence. Nehemiah knew that. Remember, Nehemiah so desired to be a blessing in the rebuilding work. And we read in Nehemiah 2 verse 8, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. According to the good hand of my God upon me. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the good hand of God that was on Nehemiah rests on you and me. And all we can trace his good hand, his hand of providence. He will not take his good hand off us. He will hold our hand with his good hand, and he will, in his providence, lead us by his good hand. So then, as we think of the Lord leading, he leads through his word. He leads, secondly, through the Spirit. The Spirit takes and applies the word, and he leads in providence. And we can say, I being in the way. Well, let's just, as we now draw to a close, just open up one or two more things at the end of this series as we consider this guidance in the wilderness. First of all, he led them very carefully. He led them very carefully. Turn with me to Psalm 107 and verse 7. Psalm 107. And verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. The right way he led them. He was leading. There was no mistake. They would have lessons to learn in the wilderness. They would be there for 40 years, 40 long years. They would go round in circles at times. But the Lord was leading in the right way. He led them carefully, and he leads us carefully. Now just note again verse 21 and verse 22 of Exodus 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. There were times when they had to get up in the night. Verse 22, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He didn't take it away. He led them very carefully, and he leads you and me very carefully. Each step of the journey. And this is so illustrated in Numbers chapter 9. If you turn with me into Numbers chapter 9, we're going to read from verse 15 through to verse 22. Numbers 9, verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was alway. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. You see, so detailed there, wasn't it? A day, or two, or longer, or a year? The Lord led them very carefully. And they went. When the pillar moved, they stayed. When the pillar remained, very carefully. They didn't go before, no, they followed the pillar very carefully. They would wait a long time at certain seasons. The other day I was waiting at some temporary traffic lights on the A338 towards Salisbury. They were red. And you know, they seemed to remain red for a long time. And I wondered if they got jammed. Sometimes it happens, doesn't it? Well, there they were red, and I was sitting there, a few cars ahead of me, but I could see the lights. And then a few cars came down, so I knew they were working. After these cars passed, then the lights went green, and on I went. There are times when we have to stay still, like the children of Israel at the Red Sea. There's times when we have to wait a while. There's times when we have to wait even longer. But then, as it were, the lights go green. The Lord says, this is the way now. Walk ye in it. The Lord led them very carefully. And does this not speak of his favour towards them and his mercy? And are we not thankful for the way in which the Lord leads us very carefully? He's so concerned about us. The Lord is the shepherd who so cares and will not forsake, even though we fail him. He has such mercy, he has such favour, and in his favour and in his tender mercy, he leads us, he cares, and he leads us on, therefore, with such care. He led them carefully. Rest in the Lord in times of difficulty. Take comfort in this, especially when providence seems dark and mysterious. The Lord's leading you very carefully. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Secondly, he led them to a place of difficulty. He led them to a place of difficulty. Now we note in verse 22, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He led them. And he led them to the edge of the Red Sea. And the Egyptians were there, and they were hemmed in. They were in a place of difficulty. Come with me to verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. The Lord had led them there. And it was a place of great difficulty. And we recognize the Lord leads us even to those places of difficulty. Places where we may cry, Lord, was it really meant to be like this? What's going to happen now? Here's the children of Israel. The Lord had just recently delivered them from Egypt. And now they're panicking, they're fearful. What's going to happen? You may come to a place of difficulty. You're led to a perplexing difficulty. You're led to straits where you're hemmed in like the children of Israel. Lean on the Lord. There's no mistake. He's leading in the right way. He leads to the valleys of difficulty. For there he is in the valley, as we see in Psalm 23, verse 4. He led them to a place of difficulty where they were hemmed in by the Red Sea, but the Lord was there. And the Lord was there to protect them. As we see in verse 19, they were shielded from the Egyptians and they were able to go forward. And the Lord is with us. He leads us to that place of difficulty. And he's there in that place of difficulty. And are we not thankful for it? Thirdly, led to places of refreshment. Led to places of refreshment. In the wilderness, the Lord led them to such places. We considered a few weeks ago, there was Elim. Turn with me to Exodus 15, verse 27. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Oh, what a place of refreshment. You can just consider this great multitude encamped there by the waters. Think of the wilderness, but there's a place of refreshment. And the Lord leads us to a place of refreshment. He leads us to a place of difficulty, and he's there with us. But he also leads us to a place of refreshment. We find ourselves, as it were, by the waters of refreshment. Times when we're so refreshed by his presence, refreshed through his word, refreshed through his spirit. He leads us to the green pastures and the still waters. Just turn with me again to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's what he does for you. That is what he does for me. He knows how much we can bear, how much we can cope with. We see that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may also be able, that ye may be able to bear it. He knows, dear child of God, he knows how much you can cope. And he will not put on you more than you're able to bear. He knows, and so what does he do for you? He leads you to a place of refreshment. He makes you lie down in the green pasture. He leads you by the still waters. The Lord willing, in a couple of months' time, it'd be hot in the summer. And what do we enjoy if we're on a long walk? We come to a shady area. And there's a little brook, clear, refreshing water, maybe in Wales or Scotland or some beautiful place in England. There's a little refreshing brook and you refresh yourselves by the waters. Oh, may you know that refreshment by the waters. Fourthly and finally, led all the way to the promised land. Led all the way to the promised land. He led them through the wilderness to Cana. All the way. Psalm 48 verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now consider heaven is the promised land for the believer. John 14, our Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's made that promise. He's gone to prepare that place. It's the promised land, isn't it? How thankful I am. I'm being led to heaven. Are you? Perhaps there's an unbeliever listening on. Oh, that you would flee unto Christ. He is the light. He's the light of the world. Oh, that you would flee to him, that you would believe, that you would repent of your sin, that you with me and us would be on the way to the promised land. Oh, what a wonderful thought. What a wonderful Saviour who loved me and gave himself for me, that I might find myself on the way to heaven. We're going to the promised land, dear brothers and sisters. He will lead us all the way, through the valleys, on the mountains, through the times of difficulty, through the green pastures, to those places of refreshment. He will lead us on, day by day. He will lead us to the last valley. He will lead us there. Remember the River Jordan before they entered the Promised Land. There is the River of Death. There is the last valley. He will lead us there. You come to the beginning of the valley. He says, now walk with me. As we see in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It will be walk with me now. I've led you thus far. I'm not going to desert you now at the beginning of this valley. I'm there for you. As I've been with you and I've been there for you throughout your life as a believer in a special way, I'm going to be there for you in a special way as you now enter this valley. Walk with me. It's not far to go now. Just a few more steps and you'll be home. I remember helping my grandfather pick apples in his orchard in the New Forest. He had a shabby bungalow and it had a lot of land and it was called Old Orchard. And I remember he used to get a ladder and he would ask me to climb up the ladder. He would hold the ladder. He didn't want the ladder to touch the trees. So he would hold the ladder and I would very carefully climb the ladder. But I was a bit nervous. But he would say to me, up you go. Just a little further, you'll get the apples. Just a little more, a few more steps up the ladder. Or maybe nervous about the last valley, anxious, concerned, but he will be there. He will guide you just a little further. Here, look on. There's my follower. They've just got a few more steps to go. Just a few more. He guide through the wet, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It may be we've had a difficult time, but there will come the comfort. As we see in Psalm 23, we may be unconscious, but the Spirit will apply. The comfort comes, the guidance comes. Just a few more steps. You're home now. Welcome home. I led you through the wilderness. Now you're in the beautiful land of heaven. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, how privileged we are to be guided by Christ all the way. O Lord, we thank thee that thou dost lead us to places of refreshment. We thank thee that thou art with us when thou dost lead us to those perplexing difficulties. We thank thee that thou be with us at the beginning of the last valley, and thou wilt walk with us. And then one day we'll be home. The wilderness will be behind us, and the beautiful land will be on view. Lord, help us to view by faith the beautiful land that is before us. Help us to look more to Jesus on the journey. Lord, at the end of this life, we will see Jesus in the beautiful land. Oh, what a moment that will be. But on the journey, help us to look more by faith on his lovely face. Help us to be more at his feet, listening. We thank thee we are a guided people. Oh, may we know more of the warmth of Christ. As we think the pillar of fire, more warmth on the journey in this wilderness. Bless thy word to us. Lord, may we each day be praying more. Lord, lead us every hour. Lead us every day. Help us when we go about our duties in the day to be like the children of Israel, glancing over to the pillar, O Lord. Help us to be glancing at Christ throughout the day. Oh, for a closer walk with our guide until we see him. Lord, we are so thankful, despite our failings, thou wilt not forsake us. Blessed be thy glorious name. Amen.